Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, this show tonight is kind of humbling to me because it truly is close to home. I'm from the 417, and so is the Springfield Fight Club. You know, the three guests that I got on the show tonight are truly tremendous teammates. They truly, when you put them together, they're a devastating group. And I kind of taken a liking to them. I mean, the Springfield Fight Club in general, if you know me, you know Zach Cummings, Michael Johnson, Brad Pyramid. I mean, the names just go on and on that came out of the Springfield Fight Club. So what better way to represent my show than to represent the city that I'm from? Got to hang and talk tonight. My fifth or sixth show in a row since getting back from California. But without further ado, I'm going to welcome Miranda Maverick, Garrett Armfield, and Josie Storch. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great. Doing really good.
Let's get this party started, right? Oh, you know, since the last time you were on, Miranda, I think you did one show since we went to iHeart and Univision, so the show's kind of a little bit bigger now, but it doesn't make me any better. It's just a bigger show. No, I'm joking. You know, you have a new one on the show with you tonight, and that'd be in Josie Storch. You know, Josie, you just had your first fight. I watched it. It was a tremendous outing for you. What did it feel like for you to finally get that one outing under your belt?
It's been a long time coming, honestly. I started out in Lee Summit at Glory MMA, and it's been about 2 years since then. So I've been ready to fight for a while. I really didn't know how I was going to like the spotlight or if I was going to freak out or not. So walking in there, I felt super comfortable right at home like I wanted to, and it honestly felt amazing, especially to get that win. I was super excited and immediately ready for some more.
Well, I feel you there. You know, I got one more question before I kind of – I'm going to ask each of you a couple questions, then we'll jump back and forth. But, you know, then you probably know me then, right? Because, I mean, I'm Lee Summit's photographer. I have been for about 3.5 years. You know, it's a tremendous group. You know, I kind of see you a little nervous there, considering, you know, James Krause has one heck of an ego and kind of rubs off on everybody in that aspect. How hard was it for you to come from Lee Summit to a new gym and get this fight camp in?
I've been down here for a little bit for school. So coming from James Krause, he, very confident. The whole team down there is extremely confident, and they tried to push that on us a lot. Everybody has an ego in fighting, just make it a good one. So coming from that to here, everybody's very humbling here. Everybody's very good and kind of just keeps up, especially with Miranda and Garrett. I mean, they'll beat me up to make me better, so it's very humbling. But, I mean, everybody has that drive to get it and go. So it wasn't too different, just still very high-paced and exciting everywhere I go, so it wasn't too bad. Good transition.
It's kind of cool though, because you walk out of Lee Summit, which is predominantly, you know, where Zach Cummings trains out of also, and then you go to Springfield Fight Club, which is actually where he got his start. So it just kind of made it a 360, a full circle. So that's kind of, you know, kind of be kind of, you know, neat in that aspect.
It is. He comes up here quite often and holds you seminars with us, and it's always very interesting to see the difference from him messing around with James back in Kansas City and them doing practices down there and him coming up here and coaching everybody up here. It's just very cool to see how, I mean, his styles change and how he goes from training down there and just being one of the guys to coming up here and coaching all of us. So it's very cool to see the difference in gyms and just his training styles throughout where he goes.
Most definitely. You know, I'm going to jump to you, Garrett. Garrett, you kind of had to fill the shoes of one of Miranda's favorite sparring partners, that being Elle Waggman. You know, how hard was it for you to, you know, step up into that aspect of training with Miranda and kind of fill Elle's shoes?
Yeah, so I guess kind of from the start, I've always been one of Miranda's main training partners.
So even when L did leave, it was kind of like how it had been. Like, we just kept, we'd go together more often. Like, when we were doing spar rounds on Friday nights, we would put together more often than before when L was here. I think it's very beneficial for both of us now that we're fully training together. I mean, Miranda's got great jiu-jitsu. She's a jiu-jitsu ace, so she's definitely helping her along the way there. And so I come from primarily striking background, so I'm able to help her and coach her and help kind of guide each other. Like, we both kind of guide each other as we're both looking to, like, turn professional, at least for me. And Miranda's already is professional, obviously. But
well, you know I had to get that pop shot in for you calling me sir, right?
Yeah, my bad, my bad.
Oh, there you go again. See, man, you'll learn by the time, long enough that you get to know me, especially when you're only 25 minutes from my house, bro. Just remember that. No, I'm joking. You know, I had the opportunity to shoot you in Ozark Combat League. I still got to get your pictures up from the last time I was there. God, I'm horrible at it. But I've had an opportunity to see the fighting style, the nature of who you are. You know, what was your initial intent when you got into the sport, Garrett, and did you perceive it going the path it did?
Well, it's just kind of raised around the sport. So ever since I was a little kid, I was put into the gym, put into the atmosphere of being in a boxing gym. And I started primarily doing karate style. So, like, if you watch the way I fight, the way I spar, I do have some karate tendencies mixed with some boxing and kickboxing. And so honestly, just since growing up, it's always been kind of expected me, at least by my parents and my friends, to continue to fight. And it would always be weird if I'd be missing from the gym from any period of time. And so it's just kind of just been like a way of life for me my entire life. And I don't really know any different than other than training and fighting.
Yeah. You know, you did kind of bring up karate. You know, now that I think about it, there is that resemblance between Ralph Macchio and you, you know, from the Karate Kid. You know, so I can understand that aspect. Call me sir again. You're going to get roasted all night, bro. But, you know.
We have to do the last on wax here, you know.
Let's take it back to the night that you won the belt for Ozark Combat League. You know, it has to be a pivotal moment. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, it's just another accreditation to what I love so much and this and that. But I even know as a journalist and as a photographer, when I get an award, I always, you know, play it down and, you know, don't make much of it because humility is a key factor here. But what does it truly mean to you to do your gym proud, to do your family proud, and to do yourself proud and actually walk away with a belt that night?
So all of us represent each other, no matter where we're at, just in the streets, everyday life, or in the boxing ring, in the cage. We're all like a representation of the hard work we all put in with each other. And so it's just more than a belt to me. It's more than just a victory. It's more than just like an amateur win. It's a team thing. So, you know, when you climb out of that cage after winning, the first people there are your teammates and your family ready to come up and congratulate you. So my point of view is that it's not an individual sport. So granted, it's only one person fighting out there, but it's a family versus a family. And so it's kind of, you know, you kind of have everybody else under your wing and you're just kind of going with everybody when you do get the victory. And then even on the same fence of when you do lose, your teammates are still there to pick you back up. You know, they're not going to disown you and not want to train with you anymore just because you have a tough fight or you lose every now and then.
Well said, son. Well said. You know, Miranda, I'm going to jump over to you. You know, you're the pro of the group here. You're the one that's been in the sport. I'm not going to say, you know, theoretically longer than any of them, but you're the one that has become a pro. And how hard is it for you to, and I'm going to use a really cheesy euphemism here. How hard is it for you to be the master and, you know, have to share your knowledge with the grasshoppers coming up? And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner. It's just you're the pro of the group. You truly, you know, the Springfield Fight Club truly is family. It's family-oriented. You can see in the fighters that each and every one of you truly care about each other. So how hard is it for you to continue the path that you're on but share knowledge with the others that are around you, like the two on the show tonight?
For me, like, everybody helps each other. Like, even though I'm the pro of the group, as you said, like,
Garrett can beat me in fighting any day of the week. And for me, it's I just try to learn from each partner everything I can. Like, even if people are worse than me or, like, I'm a purple belt now, even if you roll with white belts, you don't just roll with them and just try to destroy them or anything like that. You try to learn from every partner you have and at the same time try to teach them. And for me, just being a pro, like, I know that I got, you know, I believe that I just got there purely from, first off, it being a women's sport, it's a lot easier to get farther like that. And I just got lucky. I got a lot of opportunities, and I thank the Lord for that. But also, like, just hard work and from my coaches getting those fights and having a lot of opportunities to arise for me to get here faster than other people have had the chance to. Doesn't mean that I'm necessarily better than these other people. I'd rather just learn from them and go on. I don't really see it as me teaching them necessarily. We all just kind of teach each other as we go. But at the same time, I believe, like, I have the ability to get as far as I want to go. Like, I want to reach that world title belt. I want to reach that as the youngest age I can and hopefully break records doing that in the process. But I don't credit it with just me being as good as I am. It's every single training partner that's ever practiced with me or pushed me, the reason I'm there.
See, that's exactly what I love about the Springfield Fight Club, because, I mean, you know, I've been in gyms all across this country, and, you know, the Springfield Fight Club, and I'm not just saying that to my listeners because of Zach Cummings and Michael Johnson and Brad Pearman and Jacob Ritchie, and, I mean, I could, like I said, I can go on and on and on from the years of being there. It's just, it truly is. I mean, you got to understand Springfield, it's not a very big city, and, you know, events really don't do well here, but then you got a gym like Springfield Fight Club, and it's tremendous. And, you know, Miranda, you made a remark that you're just a purple belt. You know what? And I think in some instances in your career, that's really all it was just a purple belt. And I'm not disrespecting the art of jiu-jitsu in any manner, but you got to remember, I shot your fight with Gabby Romero, who is a world champion black belt in the art herself. And you made it look like easy work. What is it about your work ethic in jiu-jitsu that gives you that predominant edge over some that, you know, are equal to you?
I give credit to partly how we run our belt testing. Other females I've rolled with that are brown belts, black belts, are, in my opinion, not brown or black belts. I've rolled with other blue belt girls and can just roll them up when I was a blue belt. And I think it has a lot to do with the gym going, oh, they're a girl, let's give them their belt sooner. They're trying. They're doing pretty good. Let's give them a belt test. Oh, they're holding their own against the blue belt guys. Let's give them their brown belt. Like, and that's how most gyms do it. They just put women on a different perspective. Where here, like, Brett Welcome is usually my initial jiu-jitsu coach, and he's like, well, you're not going to get a damn blue belt until you're beating all the blue belt guys. And that's just how it was. And it's the same way with the purple belt, and it'll be the same way with brown and black leading up to it. And another thing I credit it with is rolling with guys makes a huge difference. When you roll with just girls, like, you underestimate, or should I say overestimate, your own abilities. Like, if I were to just have female training partners, I would never get as good as I am now. And I credit that with everything when it comes to fighting.
Definitely. And it actually segues my next question to Josie. You know, Miranda's already asked this, you know, I already asked her this question on a previous episode that we've done together. And it's kind of cool that I can get your perspective now. You know, in jiu-jitsu, and I've had some of the greatest, world's greatest, I guess you can actually say, black belts and practitioners on my show. And one day I was kind of stymied when Professor Jenna Bishop brought up inequality and sexism in the sport. You know, I'm not saying necessarily that it happens at Springfield Fight Club, because I don't believe it does. I've been there. I know everybody there, and I don't think that's an issue there. But how hard has that aspect of the sport been for you? You know, would you say that there has been, you know, inequality and sexism in the sport as a woman?
I think the main inequality for females is just a lot of guys kind of think that they can say a lot of things to us that they normally wouldn't in any other circumstance, just inappropriate things. But, I mean, as far as the gym goes, I think most all of our training partners here are very good at respecting us and respecting that we are fighters. We're here to get better. We're here to learn. I mean, the men are going to be bigger, stronger, just how they're built genetically. So they're not going to, I mean, give it their all, but they're going to give as hard as they would to us for us to get better, I believe. And I believe that's how I've trained at a number of gyms just on and off. And I believe that that's how a lot of people are. I know that I've been to some gyms that there is a real power trip with the guys. They think that just because you're a girl, you shouldn't be in this ward. They can run you over and do whatever because it's not your place. And I think that that's just on them, a personal flaw that maybe they have or they can't handle. But I think most often a lot of the guys really respect that we're in here pushing just like they are. We do the same training. We do the same drills. We're in here every day working, and a lot of them respect that and, you know, treat us like they would treat others on a decent level that, I mean, they're not going to murder us. So I think it's very, very well balanced here at Springfield Fight Club for sure.
Oh yeah, I love it there. Like I said, I was just meaning in general because I know Nathan and everybody, and I don't want to get shot going to my car. No, I'm joking. You know, you look at the sport, Josie, and you know, it's, people say it's still in infancy for men. I mean, and so then really, what does that make it for women? I don't look at things that way. I don't have the same view as a lot of my colleagues. I look at, you know, as a day by day in the moment basis. What was it about this sport though that initially drew you to it, and what were your parents' thoughts as you did partake of a sport that was truly in people's minds a devastating sport?
Absolutely. It's funny because my dad is actually the one that got me into this sport. I had no idea what MMA was, and then I used to do title boxing, kickboxing, so just a little workout on the bags with my dad. And when I was younger, me and my brother would always just really aggressively wrestle around and fight each other. Just growing up, that's what siblings do. He's older than me, so we would all just fight. And one day my dad told me that he thinks I would be really good at MMA because I'm so aggressive. And my friends now still know I'm very aggressive. So he took me up down in Lee Summit. He took me up to Glory. And, I mean, I was still 16 at the time, so walked in with me, got me all signed up. I was still just a kid. And the first day I was down there, we did takedowns and ground and pound. And, man, I loved it. So just beating people up on the ground, I immediately, which is what I did in my fight, so I immediately fell in love. And I've been training just consistently ever since. My dad's still a huge fan. He absolutely loves the sport, loves anything that has to do with it. We'll watch fights together. He'll text me every time a pay-per-view's on and make sure I'm watching it. And my mom, bless her heart, loves everything I do, supports me to the end, but cannot stand watching me get punched or hit like mother should. So she's very hesitant. Before my last fight, she was like, "Are you sure this is what you want to do?" And I was like, "Well, it's a little bit late now, but yeah, I'm pretty sure." So they're all, my family is my biggest support system. They absolutely love what I do. Mom has a little bit of trouble with it, but all in all, they're the ones that push me every day to keep going with it, so... A lot of love.
I like that. That's pretty cool. You know, Garrett, I'm going to jump to you because I know you're not feeling very well, so I'm not going to pick on you too much tonight. You know, we kind of talked about in the last couple questions that you answered that, you know, you've pretty much been around the sport your whole life. So now that you've finally reached this aspect of where you're at in the game, what do you feel it's going to take to truly get you where you'll feel comfortable and where you'll feel like you're actually finding your stride in this sport?
Hard work and drilling every single day. I mean, me and one of my teammates took a trip down to Coconut Creek, Florida, over spring break, and we got to stop by and train at the American Top Team and some of the Brazilian top teams down there. And you can just tell that place is just filled with world-class athletes just by the way everybody's constantly drilling. And, like, Joanna, can't really say her last name, but former strawweight. Yeah, she walked in the past us, me like starstruck. But she like the entire time she was there, she was drilling her butt off constantly, and I feel like that's really what it takes to get to that next level. Is just you got to be in love with the process of getting that good. You got to be in love with getting hit and dealing with the pain, and you know, having like not injuries, but being her after practice, you gotta love that. You gotta love the late nights, the missing work, missing family events. I mean, it sucks, but if you really want to get to the top, you're gonna do whatever it takes. And so that's what I've been trying to base my training experience off, is just be here as much as I can and have no excuses.
You know, I kind of like that, but I want to take it just a hair deeper, if you don't mind, Garrett. You talk about the passion of the sport. You talk about seeing others, you know, and, you know, Joanna Jacek is a fine example. I mean, as somebody that is hard work and determination, because I know one of her coaches, Billy Patton. But, you know, you look at the aspect of the sport, and, I mean, you got to love it. But the point I'm trying to get is, when you sit back and you just sit there and you realize what you do for a living, what you've chosen in this path, how hard is it for you to realize that every day, you know, you're not going to be able to do these things? Every day you're gonna put yourself up for injury. You're gonna put yourself up against, you know, going in and getting lessons taught. What part of it, you know, the man of Garrett Armfield really allowed you to open yourself up and say you want to exist in this world?
That's a good question. Again, I just feel like, I know it might sound redundant, but I've just been, like, I'm obsessed with the sport since day one. So what it takes to, like, wake up every day and get to the gym, it doesn't take much for me. It's, like, if I miss practice, I'm like, damn, why did I miss practice? And then seeing, like, the injuries and all that happen, we all have to understand that's a part of the sport. And if we want to get better, we got to find a ways around injuries. We got to find ways to better ourselves even when we are hurt. Again, with getting a lesson taught, getting your bell rung, it's a humbling experience. It's kind of take it in stride and realize that you're not the best in the world, not even close. And the only way to get there is by keep going against that person that rings your bell every single time. So it's just a self-motivation and self-determination thing just to get to that point.
Yeah, I love that. Would you say let me ask you, when you look at mentors, I mean, you've got a tremendous group of trainers at Springfield Fight Club. I mean, it's not hard to just pick all three of them as mentors, you know, and so I'm not going to even put you on the spot and make you even ask that question. But when you look at the sport in general, who would you say was the key factor, the key mentor in developing who you are, not just as a warrior, but a man?
That's a big thanks to my brother for that one. He's actually currently my manager now, and he was involved in the sport at an amateur level. He was a decorated amateur at like 14-2, something like that. And then he would always bring me to practice every single day with him, even when I wasn't in the sport. He would make me sit there and watch him. He would make me hold pads for him. Even when he didn't have a wrestling partner, I was there helping him as much as he helped me. And so I just give a lot of my mentorship to my brother, who really pushed me, and he never gave me any like wiggle room to say, no, I don't want to do this. It's always, well, you're going to do it no matter what. I don't care. And yeah, it may be a different, maybe kind of harsh, but I mean, it's a harsh sport. So you got to get with the program.
Yeah. It's truly a sport you do got to love. I mean, I always call it the three P's: pride, passion, and perseverance. That's the only thing that I can truly see that keeps you guys going, because yeah. I mean, I shoot the sport. I don't partake in it. I did it as a young man, but, you know, after losing my leg and then picking up a camera, it was like I couldn't walk away from the sport. But to, you know, truly sit back and shoot and witness what you guys go through, it's tremendous, because people don't really, you know, realize that there is a wisp of a fist and a leg kick and the thump. I mean, yeah, you do hear somewhat of it in the crowd, but when you're just right there, man, it's not the nicest noise in the world to hear, and you can only imagine what it feels like. So, you know, I appreciate the warriors of the sport today, because you guys truly are warriors. I mean, it's not a nice job to get punched in the face, but it's sure as hell fun when you win, I guess. So that's the only reason I can see you guys still doing it. You know, Miranda, I'm going to jump to you. I'm not going to get myself in trouble with Invicta, because I don't like getting yelled at by Shannon. But is there anything that is up on the plate that you could kind of talk about, but you can't talk about? What's up in the life of Miranda Maverick?
Well, I kind of start from last November. I was scheduled to have a fight that December, and I got an injury that required me to be out for a few months. And so this is, I'm going to be having a fight hopefully at the end of July to be kind of bringing myself back for me coming forward. For me after rehab and everything, it's a lot sooner than they thought it was going to be. They expected it to be 2019 before I'd have my next fight. And I was very eager to get back into the, get back into practice, get back into the cage. And just a few weeks after my, my injury got fixed and everything after surgery, I was back in the gym trying to practice, trying to get back into shape. Even in the time that I've been out, I feel like I've improved a lot. Like I learned to fight orthodox pretty much while I was hurt so that I could stay off my injury and everything a little bit more. And so now I'm having to get back to that unorthodox stance and basically relearn again certain things and speed and movement a little bit more than I had previously. But upcoming, hopefully the end of July, I'll have a fight, and hopefully it'll be against an opponent that can move me forward within the sport some more. I'm fairly high ranked right now within Invicta, and my contract after this one is going to be their next six-fight contract. They had me sign a few months back as kind of like a loyalty thing, like, don't worry, even though you're hurt, like, we're going to still keep you on for a long time. We don't want to lose you. So I have six fights after this one that I'm still signed for, and within that, two title fights are pretty much and within it to be possible. So I'm really excited. You know, I would have never imagined I would have been doing a world title fight at this stage of my life.
You know, most definitely. You know, but, you know, a lot of fighters could look at it as a double-edged sword. I mean, you know, you look at the certain aspects in the time that you were out, you know, during the injury. You know, a lot of fighters got pulled to the UFC. But then, you know, I also know a lot of fighters in this sport that would rather take it slowly, take it, you know, step by step. You know, for example, Christina Warhorse Williams, who's been on my show ever since she's been a fighter. And, you know, she could have just jumped into a title fight right then and there against Salima McFarlane. But her coaches and her trainers and her management felt, you know, hey, let's kind of slow the cart down a little bit, and, you know, we'll give you that fight when you need it. Do you feel that was kind of the blessing that you got with Invicta and the six-fight, you know, extension? Because now you could kind of, you know, fight at Miranda's pace until she feels ready that it is time to go for the gold.
Yeah, not really. Honestly, like, that's just not how I am as a person. Like, I was encouraged not to turn pro when I turned pro. I was encouraged not to take as many amateur fights as I took as an amateur as fast as I did. I was told I was young, it was fine to wait. Like, I have plenty of years ahead of me, same way with school, same way with everything I've done in life. And I just want to get it done. I want to get to the top as fast as I can in every aspect of my life, schooling, my career, this MMA career as well. Like, I don't see any reason in waiting if I have the confidence and ability to do it. I feel like I have the potential to do something, then I want to show that potential to the world. And I didn't think there was any real reason in waiting. Of course, I think there's a reason that everything happens, and who knows, maybe I would have gotten beat in that fight. Maybe I just wasn't ready. Maybe I wasn't mature enough as a person. But I got hurt, and nobody can really fix that. There was no coming back from it at the time. So I had to get that taken care of, reevaluate a little bit. Even got scared for a little while, you know. I was like, will I even have a future in this now from the injury? I do, and I just wish it would have never happened, but things happen, and now I'm back, and I figure maybe I'll have more of a fierce attitude with the sport, and maybe I'll come in more aggressive and show what I can do a little bit faster and maybe get to the top just as fast as I ever would have.
I like the way you put that. That's very well stated. You know, before I left California, I actually stopped by your guys' gym, and I was at least able to post a video. God, I apologize. I feel horrible that I haven't got you guys your pictures yet, but I've just been so slammed. But, you know, there was a comment made on one of the videos by a colleague of mine and a colleague of yours. His name is Andrew Whitney. You know, what does it feel like to have, you know, fighters that you've known in your life, fighters that are across the country, you know, ridicule you, give you a bad time and scrutinize, you know, some of the aspects of you just in a giving and playing manner. You know, how does that feel to you to be recognized in that aspect?
It's just funny. Like, it's nice to know that you have, I won't say fans, but, like, people who are encouraging you everywhere. And, like, for me, it's funny because, like, I've never met Andrew in my life. And the first time he ever, like, mouthed me on Facebook, he was like, hey, you can't be stealing my nickname. And so, you know, my name's Miranda Maverick, and I was always like, the Maverick, whatever, Fear the Maverick. And he was like, what the hell? You're stealing my nickname. Everybody called me the Maverick. And he was like, you can't steal that. And I was like, dude, it's my name. Like, I can't really help it. And he's like, what the fuck ever? Like, change your nickname. And I was like, no, like, it's really my name. And he tagged, like, my coaches in it. And they were like, no, dude, like, it's actually, like, it's her real name. And he was like, oh. But, like, him, like, Katie Collins, you know, I'm going up to train in Colorado June 11th, and I'll be training with Rose Namajunas and Tisha Torres and Raquel Pennington and some other big female names up there. I'm super excited that they will reach out to me, that they have any care in the world to talk to me. And, like, I wouldn't have, like I said, I never would have imagined myself being here. And the fact that I'm now, like, at their level is still bewildering to me. Like, I'm not that little kid watching the UFC anymore. I'm the person doing it. And, you know, the Sarah McMahon told me that when I was at the last Invicta, I believe it was. And I was, like, awestruck. Like, I was like, oh, my God, it's Sarah McMahon. Like, I always loved her. She was a wrestler and all that. And I looked up at her as one of my female role models within the sport. And I was like, oh, yes, ma'am. Like, calling her ma'am the whole time and, like, just amazed that she was talking to me. And she was like, would you quit it? Like, call me Sarah. And was just talking to me. She's like, you're one of us now. Like, quit being awestruck. And I was like, wow. Like, I guess I am, but that's not going to stop that. So it's just amazing to feel that. And I've only been like 2 years into the sport, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be a tremendous feeling, you know, because there's just certain aspects of the sport that I don't think the fans get to ever really see. I don't think a lot of people, except for the inner workings, truly get to see what goes into the creation of a fighter and what fight night truly means to you guys. So, I mean, you've been one of the most respectable fighters that I've ever met. And, I mean, you walk a path with God, and that's pretty righteous in my book. You know, I kind of want to jump to, oh, my gosh. I apologize. I'm having a meltdown right now. But I kind of want to jump to Josie for a second. You know, Josie, I watched the video of this fight. It was tremendous. You know, what I saw, you know, because Miranda was actually the one that turned me on to the fight and told me to watch it, and then ultimately I brought you on the show. You know, I saw an ability in you that you don't see in most people in their first amateur fight. After the fight was said and done, what did you feel that you did tremendous at, and did you feel there was any aspect that you needed to change before your second outing?
Absolutely. I think one of the main things that I tried to focus on was staying calm. I know a lot of people in their first couple fights even, rush everything. They panic, just everything gets really clouded. And I mean, a lot of people even tell me after their first fight leading up to my fight was that they blacked out and they don't even remember anything. And I didn't want to do that. So my coaches before, we were warming up and I was just very calm the whole time, which kind of freaked a couple people out because they thought I was too calm. So I was just really trying to focus on doing everything that I've been taught in the past couple years. And I think the best thing that I did when I went in there was just stay focused. I mean, my knee, we'd been working on that right before with my warm-up. We worked the clench knee, take it to the ground. So it was pretty much exactly what we had planned on how it was going. And I think that was my favorite part of it, just getting ready for that and then executing it is pretty much everything about being a fighter. So being able to do that really excited me. I think working on for my next fight, just continuing to stay calm, maybe keep my distance a little more. I've been really working on well-roundedness just all around, so I'm just really excited to go in there and show everything I've been training. After my first fight, I felt very confident in myself and my ability to
use my skills how I need to use them no matter what happens, and I'm really excited for my next one coming up.
You know, we can't, I don't think we can talk about it, but I believe your next outing is going to be in June, correct?
We can actually talk about it. Yeah, it's been announced it's going to be on the amateur undercard for LFA here in Branson, June 8th. So I'm really pumped for that. It's against Lissandra Franklin, 3-1, so it's really going to be a good show of my skills, and she wanted to call me out, so it's going to be a regrettable decision for her, and I'm really excited to go and show that.
Most definitely, because it'll be a tremendous night. I'll be there. You know, I love LFA. I got to go see my boy Pat Miletich anyway.
Really.
You know, that's a tremendous opportunity for your second fight out. You know, most people don't get that type of opportunity in their second fight to jump on an LFA card. So that speaks profoundly about what you did against Rachel Kimbrough. You know, we're running a little bit. We got about 5 minutes left of live time. So I kind of want to ask each and every one of you a goofy, off-topic question. Out of the three of you, and I'll let Garrett answer this first because I'm going to put him in the hot seat for calling me sir. Out of the three of you, who would you say is the biggest diva of the group?
Biggest diva?
Garrett.
She's an aggressive one. She's got the attitude. And then Miranda's the quiet one. But she's got the biggest attitude of them all, too. It's hard to have all these girls. I can't keep up with
whatever. I think it's everybody on a different day, if we're being totally honest. Garrett, when he's getting ready for his fights, he's the biggest diva out of any of us. 100%. Douchebag. Fucking douchebag and diva.
I'd call
a
douchebag and a diva.
You know, it was truly an honor to have each and every one of you on here tonight. I need to bring each and every one of you on your own episode like I do Miranda. You know, I don't think, you know, a 40 or 45 minute interview is truly deserving of what you guys are bringing to the sport and what Springfield Fight Club has done for our community and the promotions that you guys partake in. You know, the Springfield Fight Club truly has created humble people with great integrity, and you don't see that much in the sport. So that's a truly tremendous attribute that each and every one of you have. Real quickly, I'm going to toss the mic to Garrett first, then Miranda, and then we'll finish it off with I'm sorry, I keep having your name, Josie.
Yeah,
and then we'll toss it to you. It's been a long week, trust me. I apologize. But Garrett, if you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, my friend, the floor is yours.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to thank all my teammates. First off, coaches, Nathan Sambursky, Brett Welcome, Gabe Wook. And then sponsorship-wise, I have two sponsors right now. I'd like to thank them. It's Joshua Deathridge Builders and Gavin Boland Barber Services. I am now currently looking for more sponsorships as I'll be making my professional debut for my next fight. So if you are interested, please look me up on Facebook at Garrett Golden Gloves Armfield, and we can get in touch. Thank you.
Miranda?
All right. I just want to thank Invicta, thank my family and this gym, all my main coaches that help me every single day, and all my main training partners, two of which are pretty much sitting right here. I want to thank Girl Clothing, who's been with me since basically the start of my pro career. And then Victory Beef, who kind of took me under his wing after seeing my first pro fight, and I'm only one of, like, three females that he has that he is sponsoring, so that was a big deal. I want to thank Dodgy Collective that just now became one of my sponsors and is now one of my biggest ones, making all my fight gear and everything. Top Mount Apparel, and then also Supplement Superstores that's been giving me a lot of help in my workout and everything. Like, they aren't technically sponsoring me because they aren't allowed to, but they help me just as much as any of my sponsors or anybody around me is. And then also Orp TV, and then Finum Kimonos, which has been huge in providing me gis and stuff for training ever since I haven't had one. So it's been nice. They just help me out with my gear and stuff all the time. And I am also.
And I'm not going to forget your name again, Josie. I apologize. Hey, running three guests at one time is kind of a brain fry.
I'm the new one.
I've been doing shows since Sunday. So, I mean, and this is what, Thursday, and I still got two more to go. But on that note, I'm going to hand the mic to you just like I did the rest of them. any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the show. The floor is yours, Josie.
Of course, no sponsors at the time, but huge shout out to everybody here at SFC for pushing me and helping me every single day, especially these guys here on with me tonight, main training partners, really pushing it, all my coaches, my family for being my biggest support, and I mean, honestly, helping me out with every single thing I need while doing this sport. Always looking for sponsors, but a little bit new. So for now, just follow me on social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is Josie_Lynn. And then my fighter page, just started that. Would love to get some likes and follows on there. Josie Skull Crusher Stores. And that's about it. Just want to thank everybody for helping me out with everything that's been going on lately.
Yeah, and thank you for having us on, Dawn.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Always. Next time we'll have you guys on, I won't be so fried. And like I said, we'll just do a we'll have you guys on 30 minutes at a time each, and that way you can get an adequate interview from me.
Yeah,
and
we need to do a whole Springfield Fight Club one to, so that we can talk a little bit about the, when we're doing separate ones, ask questions about the new place and everything. We've gotten a lot of improvements the last month or two.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to bring that up myself. It truly it's transforming right before my eyes from the last time I was there to the, the time before to the last time I was there was almost like a new gym. It was crazy. It was actually a great thing to see, a much needed improvement. Now we just got to get Nathan to put some lights in, and we'll be good. You know, each and every time I have you guys on, you guys are truly tremendous. You represent the sport, you know, well, and you represent the people that you work with and that train you well. You know, you're fine representation of the sport, and I commend what the Springfield Fight Club has done for you, and I commend what you have done for them. You guys have truly instilled the name of team and in the sport, and that's something that has been lacking for a long time. On that note, I just want to truly thank each and every one of you for being the humble fighters that you are and bringing to the sport what you do. With that being said, I want to thank you for joining the program and wish each and every one of you a tremendous evening.
Thank you, Dawn. So yeah, and try to make it into the gym more, you know, to take pictures. It always pushes us in practice, too. We got to stay looking good the whole time.
I will. I'm home for a little bit, so I can start doing that. I got to get these pictures up first so I don't get shot when I go in there. On that note, thank you guys so much. Have a tremendous night.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a Springfield Fight Club. We're going to take a quick sponsor timeout, and when we come back, we're going to have Lauren Benjar.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back, and let me guess, I'm going to have to know. I believe it's still in there. Let's go ahead and give Lauren Benjar a call. It's been a long week, folks. I've got two more shows this week.
Hello?
Hello, Lauren. This is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. How are you doing?
Hi, Don. Good. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a long, drawn-out week. I just got through interviewing three fighters from the Springfield Fight Club, including Miranda Maverick. So it's been kind of a long week. Usually I come back from a tour, I kind of take the week off, but this week, you know, so many fighters wanted to come on the show. But you're actually a fighter that I seen that I hit your management up to bring you on the show. You know, I happened to see some of the fight video of your last fight. How tremendous was that feeling to go in there and dominate as you did and represent your team in the fashion that you did, my friend?
It was awesome. I mean, it was so phenomenal. I don't It's kind of hard to put it into words. That was my first TKO. That was actually my first finish. So I think right there I was just really excited. And then I was coming off of a loss from a really good fight that I was pretty disappointed about. So, I mean, just to get a win like that, I don't – it's one of those things, like, if you can't really put it into – you can't really put it into words. I don't know how to describe it, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, surreal.
Yeah, yes, definitely surreal.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure this is going to be the first of many times that you're on the show, so I'm going to kind of fix a part of that statement that you made. You know, there's a gentleman in my life that I'm sure you know of, James Krause, and he was asked one time what it's like to be 22-7. And he responded back, hey, I'm not 22-7, I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. You can never lose a fight, my friend. You know, each and every opportunity is a learning opportunity. So in life, as you go forward, you know, look at it as a lesson learned, because what you do is you take from that, you learn from that, and you know, hone and master your skills, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So don't ever look at it as a loss, because anybody that steps up in a cage or on a mat or in a ring can never lose, because you're actually doing what inspires you in life. With that being said, what truly did inspire you to take this path into the sport of mixed martial arts?
Well, I wrestled when I was in high school. I did some wrestling when I was in high school, and then when I was younger, I was about 12, I had a cousin who boxed, who was, I mean, he was a teenager also, but so he got into Golden Gloves, I think. I mean, he was doing really well back then, and so I really wanted to box when I was younger, but my mom said I was too pretty, and she didn't want me to get, have like, you know, a crazy nose or something like that by the time I got older. So I was like, come on, Mom. But when... After I graduated high school, I think after the first couple years, it was just kind of like you miss that team aspect. You miss, I mean, and wrestling is very, you know, similar to fighting. You're out there on the mat by yourself, but the daily grind, you're grinding with your people. And so I think I really just missed that competition aspect and challenging myself. And then it was just kind of one of those things that, like, Ronda Rousey started to really come up around that time, and that was when that, you know, the big women's MMA movement really started to kick in. All the veterans, all the hard work that they did really started to show. And I was just, you know, I started watching, like, I was watching The Ultimate Fighter. I started watching more fights again, and I was just like, you know, I could do that. Like, I want to get into a cage and punch some chick in the face. Like, that seems like fun. And so I just went from there. I mean, I actually, my previous gym that I was training at before was, I had gotten off of work from serving, and I went to a bar around here called Boomer Jack's, and there was a bouncer there, and one of the girls that I went there with had introduced me to him and was like, hey, this guy fights, like, I'm sure he could give you a gym recommendation. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm talking to him. I remember I'm talking to him with my purse in one arm and a shot of Jaeger in the other arm, in the other hand. And he's just like, yeah, go to this gym, check these guys out. And then I went, checked it out, and then it rest is history from there. End up meeting my husband, and then, you know, now I'm at the team that I'm at, and just a domino effect. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it becomes surreal, you know, when it gets to that aspect. You know, there's a person in your life that is larger than life. I the guy's kind of growing on me. I'm kind of starting to love the guy. I love the other aspect of the management company already. But you know, the gentleman I'm referring to is Mikhail. What type of you know, rapport, and how much has Mikhail been an intricate part in the creation of you and where you're at now?
Well, my first win was actually with the promotion he was running, HD MMA. And that was, I think, like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago now. And I remember when we went up to, there was a couple of us fighting on that card. I think there was four or five of us. And I remember we went up to Oklahoma, and this is probably the second round of fighters that we had fight on one of his cards. And my coach at the time was just like, you know, we want to meet this guy. He's really intelligent. He's a good, he'll be a good guy for us to fight with, because at the time he hadn't started the management company yet. And so we were like, okay, you know, you in the fight industry, there are some people you can trust, and there's some people you're just like, eh. So the more people you can find that you can trust and hang on to, that's, you know, the direction you want to go. And so my coach was just like, you know, let's get to know this guy. Obviously wants us to win. And he was like, he's a really cool dude. And so we went up there, and then after the fights, I think we did some kind of like a hotel get together. Somebody had a suite, one of the guys that we were up there with. And so we were all just hanging out, having some drinks after the fight, just kind of relaxing, you know? And I remember talking to Mishka for, I don't know, I feel like it was like a good 30 minutes. And you just kind of get this feeling like, this is a good dude. Like, I could trust this dude. Like, his opinion should matter. He's, you know, one of those guys where you just know that if for whatever reason you're not in a situation and somebody's, you know, talking bad about you, he'll have your back. You know, he'll stick up for you. And so it just kind of went from there. And then he kind of connected with me again and was just like, you know, what are you planning on going pro? And I really don't know. I leave that up to my coach's hands. I'm just like, whenever you feel like I'm good to go pro, I'll take that as your word for it, you know? And Mishka was just like, I'd love to work with you. He's like, let's start working as an amateur. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, most management companies don't really do much with you when you're an amateur. So I was all over it, especially with a guy like Mishka, where, like I said, you just know you can trust him. I was like, yeah, definitely, let's do this. It'll be great.
Well, you know, you look at his track record, and, you know, I'm not just saying it because I've actually only met him once in life, but we've communicated thousands of times via the internet. But I know more Reese than I do Mikhail. But you know, you look at the track record of what this management company has done. I mean, you look at Julia Villa Chimante, you look at Christina Warhorse Williams, and you know, I've known these people for years. So you sit back and you look, and you know, it's not the quantity of a group, it's the quality of a group that they're building. How does it feel for you as a fighter knowing that, you know, you're attributed to that group and you could be the next face on a billboard driving down the highway because of the qualities, the training, and the intent that they've instilled in you as a fighter?
I guess it's again, like, just one of those surreal feelings. It's great being alongside Julia and Christina. I've known Julia for, I think, going on 2 years now. Sweetest lady ever. Like, you would never think that in her spare time, this is what she likes to do with her life, you know? And then three of the other guys that Mishka also manages, Justin Patterson, Victor Reyna, and I think he's still managing Humberto Martinez. I have trained with all three of those guys. Victor and Justin were actually groomsmen in my wedding. So, I mean, I don't think I could surround myself with a better group of people in a management team, especially with, I mean, standing alongside someone like Julia. Christina's also very nice. And then I've got two guys in there that were standing by my husband's side at my wedding. I mean, doesn't get much better than that, I guess, when you're surrounding yourself with a group of people.
No, it truly doesn't. You know, and then you correlated to, you know, your last fight. Would you say that rapport and that atmosphere, you know, allowed you to go out and win in such a devastating fashion? I'll tell you, because I look at the internet for, you know, for fighters. You know, I know everybody in the sport. I've been in the sport for 22 years. I mean, I can call just about anybody up and have them on the show, but I always believe in bringing on, you know, past, present, and future. And I saw this video of you, and I got to admit, you pretty well manhandled your opponent. And, you know, it was some tremendous striking. When you look at that moment and you sit back now and you think about, you know, when you watch the video and you think about what you truly accomplished that night, what does it do in the mind and the gain and the path moving forward for you as a fighter? I mean, because you truly got to take away from this a tremendous feeling, because that was a truly devastating fight.
I do my best to just try to still stay humble with it. You know, the fight went my way, and I'm very happy about it. I mean, I've never really demonstrated my striking as much as I did in that fight, and I've really got to contribute that to Justin Patterson, who's my striking coach, and Doug Frey. I mean, all of my other fights that I've won were all by pretty much like taking him down to the ground and ground and pound and just kind of staying in that realm. And I've really done a lot of work to get my striking more well-rounded. Probably for the first 6 months of me training, I barely threw a single jab in sparring or anything like that, because I don't know why my left hand just wouldn't leave my face. So it was great. It was one of those things where you can finally walk away from accomplishing something and then realize that it's all this time that you've spent working towards leading up to that moment is actually really like paying off. You have something to look back at that's rewarding. But I still, as great as I feel about the win, I'm still looking at it as I still have so much more to grow. Like, some of those punches could have been a little bit neater. Things could have went, you know, a little bit differently. I could have cut this angle here and done this and done that. But I think, it's just one of those things. You just kind of have to relish in the excitement of it all. But then at the same time, like, I know that I have to keep myself in check and make sure that I stay humble. Because I can talk myself up in my head all day long, but if I don't look at the little imperfections and say, okay, we still have to grow here, I'll never grow. I mean, I think that's just kind of part of staying humble, especially in the fight game. There's so many people that are just up and coming, and especially women's MMA, it's growing so fast. I mean, there's so many girls coming out of everywhere that if you're not taking a step back and looking at things and being excited and then saying, all right, well, let's get back to the drawing board. You're never going to grow. You're never going to get anywhere in the sport.
Yeah, that's a very true statement. I mean, you know, I was just out in California for Bellator 199, and you look at a state that is just overly inundated with fighters. I mean, you could probably have 100,000 promotions out there and fill them with fighters. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying the fans are going to show up, but there's that many fighters. You got to be that good to be recognized. And the Midwest is truly becoming a place like that, too. It's becoming a mecca of where people are pulling talent. You know, we talked about wrestling. We already know you wrestled, and there are certain other criteria as you as an athlete. But when you watch that video, and I hate going back to the video because it seems like I'm a broken record, but the tremendous thought that must be going through your head at any given time, because, I mean, you did throw the uppercut from halfway across the football field, let's say, and it happened to land. It was a thing of beauty. But how is it for you to know that now you've got this striking ability that you had and the wrestling pedigree, and people truly haven't seen the full 360 of what you're able to bring? So how does it feel knowing that you've got so much more in your arsenal and you're still building on that, but yet others haven't seen it? So do you think it's a tremendous opportunity for you to grow in the world very, very quick in the sport?
I do and I don't, I guess I would say. I think it all depends on the work that you're putting in outside of the cage. I've really started to realize that, especially, it, you know, makes a huge difference in training what you're fueling your body with, like, not always the perfect eater and I think I'm starting to really realize the little pieces that go together to make everything work once you get in the cage, all the things that you have to do outside of that. My biggest goal right now is just to make sure that I'm still growing and to be more well-rounded. It's, you know, even to an extent, I started focusing so much on my striking that it started to pull away from my grappling. You know, it's one of those things, if you don't use it, you lose it. And I was still grappling, absolutely, but I was spending like 6 days a week on my striking because I wanted to improve it so much. I was so focused on where we got to get here. Like, this is the, you know, got to run towards this finish line in this area. And I'm glad, like, that was another thing. I'm really glad that it paid off in this fight and that I'm able to see that that happened, but I'm still just really focused on just making sure I'm getting more and more well-rounded and just trying to kind of even things out a little bit more for myself. You know, you can't just focus on one thing over and over and over again. And cause then you'll lose another aspect of your game. It's, you know, and it worked out. It was a good thing that I did that. I needed it, but I'm ready to get back into evening the playing field a little bit and what I'm doing outside of the cage, you know, what I'm doing in my training. But that uppercut, though, I had no idea I even threw it. Everybody afterwards, after the fight, said, "Lauren, that uppercut was crazy." And I was like, I don't even know what uppercut you're talking about. Like, I did not, you know, it's just in the moment. All I really remember is landing that knee that knocked the wind out of her, and then came the uppercut after that. But, like, I didn't even see that uppercut or know anything about it until Mishka made that little gif of me throwing it. And I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. Like, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was a tremendous one. It's, like I said, that's what caught my attention, and I immediately hit Reese and said, "Bro, I want to have her on the show." He said, "Hit up Mishka, and he'll make it happen," and he did, as a good man he is. You know, when you sit back and you look at the sport, and, you know, you get this realization sometimes. So I kind of want to get your thoughts. When you sit back now and you look at what the sport means to you, how has it truly defined you, not just as a warrior, but as a woman in your walk?
Oh,
I know it's kind of deep, but, you know, hey, that's how
it is deep. I think I think it's defined me to other people more than it's defined me to myself. And I think that just has to do with, you know, people that I've known since high school, or people that I've known, you know, friend, like childhood friends and things like that. I've always been pretty tough. I've always been, you know, the rough and rumble kind of chick running around with the dudes. I was always scraped up, injured. I mean, all kinds of different things. But I think that for everybody else to see me doing this, I think I talked about it for so long, and I said for so long, I want to fight. That would be so cool. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then it took me really kind of being unsettled where my life was to make me take that jump into, all right, we're going to do this. You're only getting older. You have to get, I mean, you've got to do it. If you're going to do, you can't do it later. This is not one of those sports you can just walk into at 32 years old and say, hey, I'm going to start fighting now. I mean, you could, but how long is your career going to potentially be in? So I think for everybody else, I've heard a lot of people say, like, I'm really proud of you to see you following your dream. You know, you're an inspiration on how you're working. To me, sometimes I'm like, I just need to be better. I just put more pressure on myself. Like, I just got to train more. I got to train harder. I need to wake up to my alarm earlier in the morning. You know, I need to do this. I need to do that. And then I think as a female, I think everything in the world with all the talk that's going on with, you know, gender equality and that battle that's still being spoken about, I think it's just one more thing for younger girls to look at and say, this is an option. This is something that I can do. You know, I hope less parents, you know, nothing against my mother, because I totally understand why she said, I don't want, you know, you're too pretty, I don't want you to box. But I hope it becomes, that becomes a conversation that happens less and less for girls as time goes on, because there's women who are making careers out of things like this. And I just hope that it's something that other little girls can see. You know, I have four little sisters, and my four little sisters think that I'm, like, the coolest thing because I fight. You know, they always have a million questions for me afterwards. I come home with a black eye, and they're just like, Lauren, you have another black eye. Why? I'm like, I don't know, because this is what I do in my spare time. This is what I spend 20-something hours a week doing, and they just think it's hilarious. You know, they're just, they think it's cool. They think it's, they're excited for their, you know, their tough big sister, and they try to punch on me and jump all over me and all these crazy things whenever they see me. And, you know, I just, I hope that what I'm, the feelings that I give my sisters towards watching me fight are the same things that other little girls will see by all these MMA fighter, all these female MMA fighters getting in there and stepping in the cage and just running after this thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, you truly set the bar high, and I think you have a tremendous future ahead of you. You know, I'm going to ask something of you, even though it was your, you know, you're very short in your career, but you're very wise in a lot of aspects. If you had a message you can give either young boys or girls about coming into the sport and what it would do for them and how it's changed you, what would that message be, my friend?
I guess it would just be, don't be scared to do it. Just do it. You know, I think a lot of kids can be kind of weird about, like, I guess, like, sweating with people, or, like, teenagers especially. You know, I wanted to do something like this when I was into my preteens. So, like, some kids are just like, oh, that's weird. You're rolling around with people. That's strange. You know, like, and it's, if you have the urgency to want to do it, like, you look at it and you say, oh, I think I could do that, well, then you should just do it. You should just try it. See how you feel about it. Because I wish I wouldn't have waited so long. I wish that I wouldn't have been like, oh, I don't know anybody who's doing it. You know, I'm going to be doing it by myself. I don't know a good place to go. You know, I was nervous about having to show up somewhere by myself. I mean, even when I started training, I was like 23 years old, and I was still scared to go into the gym that I wanted to fight at. And it was just because I was like going by myself. You know, I think society has created this big thing of doing things with people, and it should be something that, like, you know, tag, especially for girls, do everything as a group. You know, girls go to the bathroom together. Well, girls do, you know, the girls want to do everything together. They get nervous about doing things by themselves. And I just hope that more people, like more younger kids, are just like, screw it, I want to try it. I just want to do it. Who cares if everybody else is doing it? Just do it.
Amen to that. You know, like I said, I look over the internet, and I mean, I have a slew of fighters that I can go to at any time. But I knew I wanted you on the show after seeing your last fight. You know, I don't know if you got anything on the plate, but leading up to this last fight and the people that have surrounded themselves with you, or you surrounded yourself with them, however it may be, you know, from trainers to managers to sponsors to anybody in that aspect, if you had to paraphrase a statement of thank you for people that have believed in you, from fans to your trainers to the people in your life with the greatest intent, what would that thank you statement be?
Thank you. I mean, I'm not a I can say that I'm not a good emotion person. I don't deal with emotions well, especially loving emotions. But I think it's, you know, it's just a thank you. And I think the people that know me the best, the ones that I'm surrounded the most, my, you know, my teammates, my coaches, I hope they know that when I, you know, my husband even, throw him in the pot, right? He deserves a thank you every once in a while. But I hope that when they, I hope that when they hear me say thank you, that, you know, I mean a thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, I'm not just saying it to be polite. It's really like, you know, thank you to my coaches for believing in me, you know, thanks for my teammates being around me and these warrior girls that I'm training with on a daily basis. I mean, Julia, Christina, Montana De La Rosa, Ginny Fry, these girls, I watch how hard they work and it makes me have to work harder. So, you know, it's just big thank yous to these people, and I just mean it from the bottom of my heart. I don't think you need to throw any more words to a thank you besides a thank you, you know?
Yeah, I have to agree with you, and especially the way you articulated it. It has the truest form of intent, and that's what life is all about. You know, it truly was an honor for me to have you on this show, Lauren. You caught my attention and the attention of the sport in your last fight. A lot of great things are going to come your way. You know, I think you're a great addition to combat sports. And like I said, I think you have a lot to offer. And I think you're going to bring a lot to the sport with the humility and the integrity that you have as a warrior. I'm going to hand the microphone to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, or just any social media sites or anything else that you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
I would definitely like to give a shout out to my chiropractor, Aspire Chiropractic, with Dr. James Taylor. He's phenomenal. I'm always coming in there with some crazy thing. Hey, this hurts, this hurts, that hurts. All right, well, let's put you back together again. And definitely a big thank you to him. Shout out to Genesis Jiu-Jitsu, where I train out of. Eric Lincoln is my primary jiu-jitsu coach, and he was a big, big part of, even though he's a jiu-jitsu coach, he did used to fight MMA, so he was a big part of the game plan that and the execution that happened for that fight. Definitely shout out to, you know, Doug Frey and Justin Patterson working striking, and Doug is my MMA coach, and those knees that I threw that was all his game. I never threw a single knee before I started training with that man. So, and, you know, thank you to my husband for dealing with my craziness and cutting weight and cranky and everything that husbands have to deal with their wives on top of having a fighter wife. Throw that in there and just makes things worse. So, and I think a big thank you to my family. They're a huge support system for me. My mom says, I'm more proud of you being in the cage than possibly walking around it. So now that she likes that I fight. So a big thank you to my family just for always supporting me, and, you know, my distant family giving me crazy shout outs on Facebook and texting me, you know, win your fight, watching online, sorry, I can't be there. I'm like, you're in New York. It's okay. You're in Pennsylvania. It's all right. So, yeah, I think those are my biggest thank yous, my biggest appreciations.
Yeah, and I like your mom's analogy. Glad to see you in the cage, not walking around the cage. And that's I love that. You know, but where can my listeners, you know, as we're on iHeartRadio and Univision, where can my listeners find you on social media, and where can your fans find you on social media if they want to reach out to you?
My Facebook page is Lauren Wabam Benjar, and, oh my gosh, what's my Instagram handle? I think my Instagram handle is Lauren Benjar, and on Twitter, I'm at Wabam125.
That's terrific. And, Mikhail, just so you know, I kept it right at 30 minutes, bro, so no more snowflake moments with me. sometimes I get carried away in interviews, and the fighters are so in-depth, and I would love to have you back on the show because there's so much more of your story to tell, and I'd like to share it with my listeners and your fans as we embark on this journey, which is a tremendous journey. But, you know, last time I had Julie on, I think he said I had her on for 52 minutes. I disagree with you, Mikhail, but on that note, you know, I'd be honored if you'd join the show again before your next fight or after your next fight, because the sport truly does need to hear from you. I think you're a tremendous attribute. I think you're doing tremendous for the Midwest, and your last fight was surely devastating. And, man, you got to go back and look at that uppercut again, because I think it will have you amazed. On that note, I want to thank you so much, Lauren, for joining the show. It's been a tremendous opportunity to interview you. I wish you the best of luck, and I wish to have you back on again. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'm more than welcome. I'd love to be back on the show. You know exactly where to reach me.
All right. On that note, thank you so much, and you have a tremendous evening. You give everybody a great big high for me, and I look forward to your next fight, my friend.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. God bless. But, ladies bye-bye. And gentlemen, that was Lauren Benjar. God, you know, you would think she was actually a veteran of the sport. You know, the way she correlated things and her mindset. And, you know, I got to hand it to TKO Combat Sports team and TKO Combat Sports, Mishka and Reese. You know, they define their team by quality, not quantity. And it surely is showing up on a major aspect in the sport. You know, each and every one of their fighters is tremendous, but they walk with great humility and integrity. And that's what I look for on my show. You know, I get referred to as the Barbara Walters, the Oprah Winfrey, but Pat Miletich will disagree with that and compares me to the chief correspondent for the Washington Post. However you look at my career, my show is designed to allow the fighters to beat themselves, share themselves. You know, we see what we see on social media. We see what we see on TV. But to truly hear the words come from the heart, live on the air, is a true aspect of what I'm trying to do, and I hope you enjoy it as my sponsors do. And on that note, I want to thank my sponsors, the 86ers.net, Alfred and Freddie are tremendous. I want to thank BiteMeMouthGuards.com, Joe Rice, best mouthguards in the business, Jacob Stitch Duran, Juan Ramirez with Cutman for Hire. I still can't believe they put their name on my show. And last but not least, but was truly the first, he's been with me the longest, he's the truest sponsor of the show. You know, I had an opportunity to go out to California and be with Juan Ramirez, too many Juans in my life. But, you know, I was able to spend time with his family and Juan Martinez himself, and it correlated from a friendship and a sponsorship into pretty much blood family. And, you know, that's why I encourage people in life to truly don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a person in life by what others say, because at the end of the day, you can end up finding the greatest friend you ever had. And I did that in Juan Martinez, who happens to be my brother for life, a man that has truly had my back since day one. With that being said, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining. I'm going to play a little bit of The Young King on our way out. He's a gentleman that I had on the show. It was the 2017 BET Breakout Artist of the Year. He'll be coming back on my music edition shortly. But on that note, here's a little bit of him on our way out. Have a good night, and God bless.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Oh, yo, yo, yo. That's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth. We getting ready to kick it live.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. Might sound with Stoney, just for the stock, nigga. Still independent, been in the lot, nigga. Cream on the seats, cream of the crop, nigga. Had to wait for the heat, then with the yacht, nigga. Talk overseas, no Portuguese. I made kiss on the sleeve, my soul is clean. Hold word of respect, don't disrespect. Yeah, yeah. Lessons in the city where they preach some of the best. Poppin'
told me don't trust no more. Mama told me don't trust no hoe. Yeah. Show these sweet yeah. sides, baby, yeah. that's a no-go. You start to find your bottle, some niggas got a rope. Papa told me don't trust no more. Mama told me don't trust no hoe. Show these sweet sides, baby, that's a no-go.
Yeah,
start
yeah.
to find your bottle, certain niggas got a rope.
I'm from the top of the wave, I'm texting the Sula, bitch, what it do? I never call on my boo, cause every weekend they be loving the crew.